We've come to Adygea, southern Russia. And once you get past the beautiful mountains, valleys and rivers and take a deeper look, you'll find a rich culture that's been passed down through the generations. So let's meet some of the locals who are keeping those traditions alive. Adygea golden embroidery weaves history into every dress. We pick up this thread with Larisa Gumova. Larisa, Adygea golden embroidery, tell me about it and how it's different from embroidery, say, in other cultures.
Adygea golden embroidery is different from other cultures. For instance, we draw inspiration from nature for our designs, and interestingly, we've never embroidered actual leaves or flowers, but reinterpreted them as motifs instead. Those leaves and flowers would feature as decorative motifs. We often talk of subtext in communication, and Adygea embroidery follows this logic. When we speak, we sometimes don't say things directly, but use implication instead. And our golden embroidery is similar.
Mm-hmm. Well, now you use these golden and silver threads here. Do they actually contain precious metals?
Of course, we use threads that are 5% gold or silver, respectively.
Okay.
It's harder to work with these threads because of the thin metal, but the result is a work of art.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess because they contain precious metals, these threads must cost more than normal threads.
Certainly. This hand-woven braid trim is made of threads with 5% gold and silver content. It's obviously more expensive and more difficult to work with. These are thin metallic threads. This is a gorgeous woven piece. We call these patterns knots of happiness. You can't see where they begin or end. When we create them, we always imbue them with good wishes. We wish the wearer good health, success, and happiness.
Really fine work.
Yes, even if you look closely, you can never spot where a thread begins or ends. All the ends are hidden inside.
Right, well, can you show me how it's done, please?
I'll show you how a braid trim is made. It's this ribbon here.
What can I do to help?
Right, hold this down, please.
Okay.
We usually attach this end to something immovable. Mm-hmm. We use these little planks to weave a braid trim. They used to be made of boxwood, but now we use plastic ones. The threads go through these holes in a particular order, and we use a knife beater to push the threads securely into place. Now I start weaving. I turn the planks towards myself. One turn, and then a push with the knife. Now the threads have intertwined. Now another thread passes through this gap to fasten the intertwined threads. Mm-hmm. Now another twist and another push with the beater. I'll continue going forward. You have to be consistent. If you start going forward, you must continue. Mm-hmm. When the threads become so twisted that we can't go further, it is time to turn the planks in the opposite direction to loosen them.
Mm-hmm. And you have a sort of wooden dagger here.
Yes, it's a boxwood knife that we use to push the twisted threads into place. Mm-hmm. Once again, one turn forward, a push, a thread goes in between the intertwined threads, a push, another turn, and that is how we weave a braid trim.
Well, I know that traditionally golden embroidery was part of an Adygea girl's upbringing. Why was it so important and what skills would it teach them?
Girls would start learning golden embroidery at the age of 5. Mm-hmm. Why? It taught them diligence and a sense of beauty. They learned how to prepare beautiful clothes for their future wedding. After learning embroidery, trim weaving, and other decorative techniques, they set to work on their dowry. including presents for their future families. That's why our girls will spend days doing golden embroidery.
I guess you have to be very patient as well.
Absolutely. It would take 2 or 3 days to weave 1 meter of braid trim. An embroidery of this size would require a week or more.
A week.
They mostly embroidered during daylight hours. It would have been impossible to work at night.
Mm-hmm. It looks quite complicated and involved, Larissa, but is there any chance I can have a quick go, please?
Of course. I'll let you try finger weaving, which is one of the simplest forms of golden embroidery.
Okay.
It's a meditative process.
Uh-huh. Just what I need.
Great. Take the threads. 5 fingers will be involved. Are your fingers dexterous? Do you play piano?
I used to as a child.
It's going to come in handy for you now. Let me untangle this. We prepare 5 loops. 4, 5. I've made some twists, and now I combine them into an unbroken circle.
Uh-huh.
We're beginning to weave endless happiness. We've made a long circle. Getting this loop out of our way, distributing it between the fingers. Let me show you first, and then you'll continue. Your palms must be facing up, and this is how your fingers should move.
Oh, wow.
We switch the loops, get inside the first loop, and put this outside loop on our index finger and spread our hands. And now we repeat the process on this side.
And you say this is simple.
This is very simple. Kids can learn this technique in 5 to 10 minutes during our workshops.
Okay, challenge has been set then.
Yes, hold this. Here, 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 like this.
Uh-huh.
Now this finger picks up this loop. Uh-huh. This finger picks up this loop.
Uh-huh.
Now you put your index finger through. No, stop. This first loop, the outside one. Get in and take it away. Yes, take it off this finger. Nope. Leave this one here. Get your finger out of this one. Right. Now, put this one back on.
I don't think I have a career in adige embroidery.
It can be taught, given the desire.
So is that one of the reasons why adige gold embroidery has survived to this day, where many traditions and crafts have been replaced by machines?
Golden embroidery is in our DNA. We've inherited it from past masters, and these skills awaken once we come into contact with golden embroidery. It happened to me. That's how I became an enthusiast of golden embroidery, even though I have a degree in an entirely different field. I was fascinated with golden threads, and I've been doing it ever since.
Well, I don't think it's in my genes, Larissa, so I'll leave these in your skilled hands. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Sparks, steel, and fire. And at the center of it all, a woman who's reforging tradition. Asya Yeoutik is a jeweler, blacksmith, and weapons master whose work is known around the world.
Asya, your works, they look like they come from another era. How much research do you put into them before you start making them?
My whole life is one big research project. And it's not really my research, but my family's. It was said a long time ago that there would be a girl born to a family of weaponsmiths who would have gold dripping from her fingertips. There's a beautiful way of saying this in the Adige language. When I was a little girl, I had my grandfather's tools, gold embroidery, and lacework for toys. It was all a big experiment. When my grandmother sewed me a dress, she'd tell me to make my own buttons or a little dagger. I used bits of glass to make them. I painted them myself, so that's how I began to experiment with those things.
Each piece you have here, it almost seems like it tells a story. How do you come up with the narratives?
Narratives are like fairy tale plots. There are fairy tale authors who, like Andersen, come up with new stories all the time. They just can't stop making them up. I'm like that myself. I've been coming up with narratives ever since I was a child. My medium is metal now, but when I was little, I used clay, modeling clay, or bits of paper glued onto glass.
Now, a little bird tells me that you once created some ceremonial weapons for the personal guard of the Prince of Jordan. Can we take a closer look, please?
Certainly, let's go.
So how did it come about that you even got this request, and what did they ask you to do, if it's not a secret?
I'd been making weapons for a while, and the prince had seen my work in magazines. The request was for weapons for the prince and his 15 guards to be produced in just 2 months for a horseback ride from Jordan to the Caucasus. It sounded like a beautiful story, and I was duly impressed, but the deadline was very tight. The guards' weapons were pretty straightforward. We used classical Circassian style, black and white, silver, and blackened elements. As for the prince, I proposed several options. And he chose a medieval design dating back to the 13th century, where the pattern consisted entirely of lions.
Wow, what an amazing experience creating designs with the Prince of Jordan.
Yes.
Now, we're standing in what you call your golden treasury, and I'm struggling to find the words to describe it. It's almost like a metallic, enchanted forest. What was the idea behind it?
It's great that you have this impression, because it means I was able to channel it. The idea was to turn this room into a golden fairy tale forest. As you can see, the Adige have no temples. They didn't build temples, and they prayed in the forest. It looks golden at sunset. I grew up in a forest like this, and I really wanted to tell everyone that it was the most fascinating temple in the world. Nothing we make with our own hands can rival the wonders of nature. That's why I used the forest as my inspiration.
So you mentioned the throne, and I can see it out of the corner of my eye there. Can you tell me about it in more detail, please?
Sure, let's walk over to the throne. It's more interesting there.
Everything in this room catches the eye, but this throne as the central piece really stands out. What makes it so special?
What makes it special is the fact that all known thrones from the Bronze Age, which is the first millennium BC, have only survived as fragments. Their wooden and leather parts are gone, but this one, you can bury it for 1,000 years and it'll stay exactly the same. Well, except the fabric. We made it entirely out of metal. However, it can be disassembled in 10 minutes. You can take it apart, put it in a bag, and attach it to the saddle of your horse.
A portable throne.
Yes, the biggest piece are these leopards here. Mm-hmm. This golden shine doesn't dull. It'll be exactly the same in 1,000 years. It's the throne of the Queen of the Amazons. It has magic birds with ringing bells. There's also a sword here.
Oh, and you can remove the dagger.
You can hold it.
So what are we going to do?
We're going to make a little horse. You need to solder this piece here. Mm-hmm. Take the wax. Let me help you. Don't burn yourself. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I'll hold it.
So I just need to melt this bit first.
Yeah, like this. Perfect. Uh-huh. Now wait. I see you've done this before.
Excellent. On the other side.
Now on this side. Uh-huh. Yep.
Reductions.
And now we're going to add your logo to the horse.
I'm going to do a small I and V for Inland Visions.
Right. Use this needle.
Uh-huh. There's the I, and a little V. There we are, yeah.
Okay. Great. And now try this. Mm-hmm. It's a burin that you can also use on silver. Hold it like this.
Uh-huh. I've got a bit cross-eyed. Oh, I think I messed it up. And look, I see that chili. There we are. Quite stressed.
Great, wonderful. You'll have your own little horse. Typically, they would have the family symbol here. It's your family uh-huh. symbol.
Well, Ivy, it's Inland Vision's horse. If you could gift one of your creations to a historical figure, a dagger maybe, who would it be and why?
You know what? I've never been asked this before, and it looks like I'll be thinking about it for the rest of my life. From now on, every time I make a new piece, I'll probably be thinking who I'd want to give it to. I think I would have liked to give Alexander the Great a sword with an inscription saying, "Please don't go to India. Come back home." Or another hero. At a moment when it would have still been possible to change history and prevent something from happening, I would put a warning on my gift.
From fine art now to fine food. Cheese, it's kind of a big deal here in Adige, and the local produce is known all over Russia. So why am I sat here with a box of chocolates, I hear you say? Well, that's because the filling is made of cheese. Let's find out how it's made. So, Beslan, we're going to make the famous Adige cheese today. Where do we start?
We start with milk.
Straight in?
Yep. Yes, pour it all in.
And is this cow's milk?
Yes, in this case, we're using cow's milk.
Uh-huh. Well, you can make it from, say, goat's milk or sheep's milk or something.
Right. We can use goat's milk or sheep's milk. The Adige love all kinds of cheese. Cheese is our national product. It's been around for millennia. Mm-hmm.
Now, even I, a Brit from Manchester, have heard about the famous Adige cheese. Why do you think it's so well known around the world?
The classic Adige cheese has a delicate, creamy taste. Mm. It contains the proteins casein and albumin, which means we use both milk proteins and all the nutrients of fresh milk. We want it to have a longer shelf life. We can smoke or sun-dry it. To do that, we'll either need a smoker or just leave it outside in the sunshine when there's a lot of wind.
And you have a series of cheeses here right in front of us. Which one of these has been dried and which ones are more fresh?
This one is freshly smoked. After we made it, it was smoked within 3 days.
Right.
This one's dried. Mm-hmm. It's about a month old. These cheeses here are special. They're more than 6 years old. You can hammer nails with them if you want.
And I bet the taste is very rich.
Sure, but you need an axe to cut it. A knife won't do it. And the milk is heating up. Let's taste some of the cheeses. See what they're like.
Let's do it. Sounds great. And this is about a month old.
Yes, this is a semi-hard cheese. Mm-hmm. How do you like it?
Of course.
Delicate and creamy.
Yeah, definitely.
This is goat's cheese.
Really?
Chèvre.
Okay. Now, as you've mentioned, Beslan, the cheese-making process is fairly simple. You heat the milk, you separate it into curds and whey, and then from the curds, you make cheese. Do you ever sort of experiment or add your own twist to the recipe?
Yes, we do. We started adding fenugreek, lavender, basil, oregano, and various spices to achieve more interesting flavors. We used to add more salt because people worked more and needed to trap moisture inside their bodies. So they ate more salt. Now that need is gone, so people prefer lightly salted cheeses.
Now, Beslan, you mentioned that these days people prefer less salt in their cheese. I guess that means you can't store it for quite as long.
No, it has nothing to do with that.
Oh, right.
You can store it for at least 20 years. These cheeses are 6 years old and are just fine.
Now, I can't help but notice that you don't have a thermometer here. How do you know when the milk's ready?
You wait until you see some bubbles emerge along the walls of the pan.
And what's the next step when the milk is ready?
The next step after heating the milk is to add the whey. This is how you get fresh Adige cheese. You can then smoke it, dry it, or eat it fresh. You can actually fry it too.
Right, I see the milk is almost boiling. Are we ready to make some cheese now?
You do it.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes.
Right, I'm a real cheesemaker now.
He looks like one, right? A real Circassian.
Well, with his hat now.
Circassians used to have red beards like you, by the way.
Do I need to grow it a bit longer?
Yes, and blue eyes too. He really looks like one of our own.
They sound very handsome.
Do you have any Adige relatives by any chance?
I don't think so, no.
We'll see. If your cheese turns out all right, you must have some.
I see you've also got something intriguing in these jars here. What's this?
These are smoked tomatoes.
Smoked tomatoes?
Yes.
It's the first time I've heard it.
Let's taste them. What if they taste horrible? Right. Wait. We can't have them on their own.
So tomatoes and cheese?
Yes.
Right. This is going to be a new experience for me.
Do you like it?
It's delicious. You can really taste the smoky flavor.
It's not the cheese that's smoked. It's the tomatoes that are smoked. We have smoked cheese over there. Would you like to taste that as well?
Let's do it.
Do you prefer the drier or the softer part?
I think softer.
Here you go.
Thank you. Oh, yeah, that's the smoked cheese flavour that I know. And have you got your own smoker?
Of course.
And what sort of wood do you use to smoke the cheese?
Mostly fruit trees. Apricot, pear and applewood chips.
Wow. So you can use different woods for different flavours?
Sure, but we use just a little wood. You don't need much. It's time. Get this thing, quick. I'll turn down the stove. Pour it in a circle. Just a little faster. Just a little. Faster. Faster. Some more. Now we wait. I'll tell you when. See? Wait, that's the curds.
Ah, yes, separating.
Yes, yes, separating from the whey. See? Here we go.
Process is in full swing.
That's it. We can turn off the stove.
Do you need any more of this?
Wait, wait. The key thing is to make sure the curds are separated from the whey. They're separating, see? Now you do it.
Okay.
Don't be shy. Grab it, like this. There we go.
I need to press it against the side.
It's okay.
It's okay.
Prepare the mold.
Which one do we need?
See? The curds are green, which means it's done.
Superb. Now, what do we do now?
This one goes into that one. We collect the curds. One. Two. The whey will trickle to the bottom. Pour it out like this. Drain it into the pot and put it back. One more scoop. Drain it. Now salt. After we've scooped out half.
Just one pinch, yeah? Two pinches.
Yes, now more. Uh-huh. We'll need some salt in the middle. Anyway, half the salt will be washed out with the whey.
So do we have a decent amount of curds now?
I think we'll have enough to fill this mold.
Nice one.
Drain the whey.
Uh-huh.
Good. Some people like to add more salt on the top.
Mm-hmm.
Enough.
And voila, fresh adige cheese.
Just sprinkle a little bit, not much.
Now, I've heard that adige cheese is one of the reasons why people here live so long. Would you call it a superfood?
Certainly. High quality protein, your daily recommended intake of calcium, amino acids, adige cheese has it all. Fresh, high quality protein. Give it a try.
With pleasure.
Say this.
Choir.
That's right. Correct.
Adige choir.
Correct. Now it's really complete. It's what you've made, adige cheese.
And that makes me an adige cheesemaker.
Yes, an adige cheesemaker, especially since you're wearing a papacha.
Well, thank you very much, Beslan. What an awesome experience.
You're welcome.